Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
LSU sits on the throne of college football. As they say in the bayou,
everyday French with Pierre Escargot.
Laissez la bon temps brûler.
My toilet is full of sweet tomatoes.
Monsieur Martin est là.
Dale Arnold.
I have made the decision to dismiss AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow.
Suck on it.
Oh, boy.
Rich Key.
I think Tennessee has a great shot of winning the Super Bowl. I really do.
Ryan Tannehill, we appreciate your time.
Dale and Keith, middays.
I'm David Baker, president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And I would vote for myself as well.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich is back in the house today, we're happy to say. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at the bottom of the hour. Did you see the video that was being posted by Darren Revelle last night after the game? Video of Odell Beckham Jr. handing out cash on the field to LSU players whose eligibility had expired.
Oh, okay. All right, he's not breaking any rules. You can do that. Way to go, Odell Beckham.
Now, LSU, later on, when asked about it, said, oh, no, the money's fake.
I don't think so.
Why would he hand out fake money?
It's like a shtick. That's his thing now. He just walks around handing out free money or fake money to people. I'm guessing it was real money. He's got some to spare.
He's got a fair chunk.
You know, and maybe he bet on LSU. Maybe he bet a significant chunk on the game and came up roses there.
Well, he was giving it out to a lot of different guys. Now, I don't know how he knows necessarily whose eligibility has expired and who hasn't.
Yeah, there may have been. There might be some guys that are still in school. But they just had to make sure they said that or whatever.
Is he giving cash?
Yeah. Hand him out. Why not? He played well. Here's some money.
They're
like, Odell, we usually do this, not on the field. If you could knock this off, please.
The video.
He's a famous alum. What do you want?
It looks like there's a pretty fair chunk of money. Now, if it's fake, it doesn't matter.
Well, why would anybody even accept fake money? What would you do with fake money?
Try to get a burger?
Why would a rich athlete carry around fake money?
That make any sense. Where do you get fake money?
He is just slapping out $100 bills and he couldn't care less.
No. The guy's worth millions and millions of dollars. That was nothing. That was nothing.
That was chump change.
Right. So good for him. That's nice. Paying it forward, you know?
And is now that maybe, what he was doing?
Yeah, now maybe one day Joe Burrow will go back and hand out hundreds to the players. As long as they keep winning, though. Gotta win that national title game. You know, he wasn't doing
this. Not
getting
that cake unless you keep winning.
That wasn't the SEC title game. That was the national title game.
Coach O could have eaten a lot of crawfish with that.
It's a ton of crawfish for Coach O. Oh, he's going to never have to pay for another crawfish down there ever again.
Or a drink.
Nothing.
In New Orleans? What are you, crazy?
No, in the state of Louisiana, he is all set.
Baton Rouge. All the boys he could eat.
Yep.
Yeah, Baton Rouge, he'll be the mayor.
Oh, if he wants.
New Orleans, he'll never have to pay for anything.
No, that's right. Joe Burrow's smoking a cigar.
That was
his uniform.
That was kind of badass, wasn't it?
I guess.
Sitting around the couch smoking a cigar.
The old Len Dawson picture.
Yeah, I think that's
Dawson was a cigarette.
That's what he was thinking, too, I think. He's like, you know who did this? It was my idol growing up, Len Dawson.
Yeah, like he doesn't even know who he is, does he?
Some guys just like a nice cigar smoke.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. John's in Chicopee. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Great show. One of the things that were my concern is, about this sign stealing stuff.
Yeah.
The fact is, it's been around in baseball for a long time, and it's probably changed now to where people are going more to video and stuff like that. What I'm saying is, wouldn't baseball be more interested in how the catcher and the pitcher communicate to each other? Why not? Instead of letting that even be an issue, why can't they do something like in football where, like, the catcher and the pitcher have a you know,
well, this
certain...
has been, yeah, John, this has been brought up before. I think it's pretty simple, right?
Pace of play concerns would probably apply.
No,
but...
is it just me or a lot of catchers call the game?
Yes.
So if the catcher is behind the plate,
first ball,
doesn't the hitter hear him?
Yes.
Okay. So that I think that would put an end to that. Curveball?
Or I know what he could do.
Would you say curveball? No. Fastball.
Rich, I know what he could do.
What?
He could put down two fingers.
Oh, there you go.
That'd be a
how about
mind
this?
Blown.
How about change your signs?
Yeah.
Right? Here's the indicator. First calls, that's the call. Third call, that's the call. Second call, that's the call. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do think, though, that one of the big issues with this and why they are serious about getting rid of it is not only is it a advantage for the hitting team, very clearly, but the pace of play is such a mess. Rob Manfred, every single time he talks, does any interview, he has two topics of conversation. Well, now there's going to be a third.
Yes.
But for a while, there was two. Pace of play and getting kids to like baseball again. And they kind of overlap a little bit, don't they? And so this was making teams go crazy because they all knew teams were stealing signs. It was just a matter of how many are doing it, you know, with the video in the little video room, how many are doing it with an extra camera over center field, how many of them are doing it with an Apple Watch, whatever. They were doing it, and so pitchers would freak out. So not only would they change their signs, but then they would be backing off the mound. There'd be more meetings with the catcher. Guys would be stepping out of the box. So the pace of play, not entirely. Like, there's still other issues you can clean up too, but a big part of it is how paranoid teams are. And you saw it in the playoffs all the time, right? Because every pitch matters. So in the playoffs, it was even more significant, and teams are just freaking out. So if you can clean this up, and if teams really aren't stealing signs outside of, hey, guys on second base, he saw a bunch of pitches, he thinks it's this, whatever, fine. Right. They do that. They've been doing that. They've been doing that part forever. But if you can also speed up the pace of play a little bit while getting rid of this, then it's a double whammy.
617-779-7937. Keith's in New Hampshire. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. The reason why this is really bad is, I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but if let's hypothetical for a second and say that Cora is going to get it worse than Houston, and that they got 1 year each plus $5 million, which, let's face it, for the Red Sox is nothing. But the biggest problem is they also lost first and second round picks in 2020 and 2021. Dombrowski traded all our cards to bring in players to win in 2018. Now, if it's going to be worse than Houston, possibly, I mean, what if it's 4 years, our first and second round picks for the next 4 years? That means that we would have to trade Mookie Betts in order to replenish some of our guys in the farm system. And not only that, if the other teams knew that we had to get rid of Mookie Betts, they're not going to give us their best.
Yeah,
I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
I do think that ultimately the Astros fired these two guys because, in large part, because of that part of it. The $5 million is a lot of money to you and me, but, you know, when you're a billionaire owner of a baseball team, you'll find a way to live through that. Having to give up your first and second round draft picks this year and next year, and if the Red Sox punishment is actually harsher than theirs, do you have to give up your first round pick for three straight
years?
Yeah,
maybe. I also think, not that that's not a punishment, because it clearly is, and it's a part of player development. And I think somebody like Chaim Bloom steps into a team, and now you're not even giving me first-round picks. How do you want me to replenish the farm system, and I don't have first-round picks? So he even gets a little bit more of a pass.
Sure.
But out of the four major sports, if you were going to take away a first-round pick from a team, isn't the least damaging would be baseball?
Yes, because it feels like it takes 7 or 8 years for that draft pick to make his way
like
through.
Like a football first round pick is probably the most significant. Basketball and hockey, it really depends on where you're at.
Yep.
If you're taking away like a lottery pick, now you're really hurting a team. If you're taking away pick 25 in either sport, it's kind of hit or miss. For the Red Sox, for example, just recent history, you know, Andrew Benintendi was a first round pick, but he was also 7 overall. Some of their other first round picks include Devin Marrero, Pat Light, Trey Ball, Brian Johnson, Jason Groom, Henry Owens. So they've had some hits. I mean, go back to Jackie Bradley. I think that might have been like a sandwich pick. But so it's not like whoever they would get in the first round this year was going to be on the club and even be a starter. You know, it's pretty hit or miss. Now, the GM would certainly want those picks. So that could be somewhat damaging. But I thought the caller, based on the comment line, I thought he was going to say, like, how damaging could this be really going forward? I mean, think about it. They're a year... a year now. We're going on 2 years removed from winning the World Series, and now it's, all right, you got to get a new manager. What are you going to do with Mookie Betts? All right, what's the deal with David Price and Chris Sale? Like, I don't think that they are all of a sudden the Baltimore Orioles, though, because right now you have Xander Bogaerts locked up for a while. You have Rafael Devers locked up for a while. You still have a pretty good young group. Now, the pitching is an issue. You got to figure out the pitching. You got to figure out a young pitcher
and
to be a part of the
probably don't have the money to dive deep into the big money contracts.
No, not you don't right now, that's for sure. Now, if you can flip David Price and somehow do that, then maybe you will. But I think they
although presumably if you could flip Price, it wouldn't be for, you know, somebody's ace.
But I'm saying you'd be getting like a
team's third starter or fourth starter.
But if you flipped Price and didn't have to take on too much of the money, I'm saying you would then free up some money then for like a subsequent move. But put the Cora thing to the side for a second. Let's just say this never even happened. Would you pick the Red Sox to make the playoffs this year anyway?
No.
Yeah, so again, like, this hurts the Red Sox, but it's not like, oh, they went from this title team to now they're screwed. It's like, no, you know what? They were going to be chasing the Yankees. I still think the Astros, even though Hinge is gone, they're going to be chasing those teams anyway, regardless of what's going on with their manager.
And based on what happened with Jeff Lunau yesterday,
yeah,
aren't you expecting that Dave Dombrowski is going to get some sort of punishment going forward? Look, even if you're interested in signing Dombrowski, he's ineligible for a year or whatever it
is. I bet. I mean, if they view that the 18 Red Sox were very, very similar to the 17 Astros, I don't know how he doesn't get a similar punishment at the very least. Now, actually, well, maybe the same. Because, again, Cora's the one guy that has the overlap between the two teams.
Yep.
Dombrowski doesn't, but he was there. He technically oversaw it, whether or not he approved of it, whether or not he even knew a ton about it. Still, you're in that position.
He didn't know. He had no idea. That's what he claimed in the statement, and he threw Alex Cora firmly under the bus.
I don't know. An owner, I
truly believe, probably doesn't know.
Yeah.
A general manager or vice president of baseball operations or whatever that job position is, it's hard for me to think that he doesn't.
I agree, especially now where in today's game, I feel like there's even more overlap with the GM and or whatever you want to call the title for each of these teams with the on-field game day stuff that's going on. It's not just, hey, here's the roster, you figure it out. It's no, this is the guy who should be hitting second. This is the guy you should go to in the bullpen. So if, oh, by the way, we have this great video scheme going on, I'm pretty sure they'd be aware of it.
I don't know how this is going to work out from Alex Cora's perspective.
Yeah.
But if they wait, you know, if this whole process takes another 4 weeks, 5 weeks, well, now you're into pitchers and catchers reporting to Fort Myers. You know, now are you really going to let that happen? If you're Rob Manfred, are you going to let Alex Cora go down to Fort Myers, stand there in front of the assembled media at the picnic table, talk about the upcoming season when you know already, oh, no, I'm going to whack him?
Yeah, that part, that, like, do you want to, not torturing him, but do you want to kind of leave him out there and say, all right, you got to deal with
my dad telling me, go upstairs, I'll be up there in a little while.
But, like, this is, you know, now he's got to answer the questions, now he's going to do all of that stuff. I mean, that one's weird. Plus, they must already have a punishment in hand for him just based on the Astros stuff. So they probably already know whether he's getting a season minimum. Now, the Red Sox stuff is what's going to push that even further. So I would think they would do that. Certainly before that all happens. Now, as for the winter weekend and all that other stuff, I'm guessing he can just sort of not be there. Right? Because that's not a league thing. That's just a team thing.
If A.J. Hinch was suspended for a season, he would be suspended without pay. If the Astros fire him, does he get his money?
Oh, boy. I think what you'd have is some sort of like lawsuit.
Some settlement or something.
Yeah, you'd have a settlement. Because The suspension came first. You know what? Maybe that's the other part, too, with Cora. Maybe that's a business thing. Maybe you don't fire him right now because you can get out of at least a chunk of the money if you wait for the suspension, right?
Money does seem to be an issue for them.
Always an issue. So if you can save a little bit, I think with Hinch, it would come into the wording of the contract, right? So he has so much money guaranteed. Like, it's baseball, so all of it's guaranteed. But in the fine print, well, all right, if you get suspended, you're not getting paid for that season. But if it's a suspension that we if you get fired because of the suspension, I don't know. It's all going to be in the contract. So they might be able to get out from paying him anything. And same with the Red Sox. So maybe, honestly, that might be why they're waiting to this point, is because if they fire him right now,
before Major League Baseball comes down,
then Cora would have a pretty good case, I think, of, because he could, and I don't know if this would even be true, but he could say, well, that might have influenced Major League Baseball's decision and blah, blah, blah. So by waiting, and then you can put it on baseball, and then they can save some money.
I will say this, and we brought this up earlier. If you read what A.J. Hinch has said, what Luhnow has said, even what the owner has said, this is all Alex Cora's fault.
Yeah.
All of you could have stopped it.
Yeah, they were all higher, the manager, the general manager,
the owner, any of those three guys could have said, no, we're not doing this.
Cora's got set. Cora fixed the monitors. A.J. Hinch destroyed monitors, if you believe that. And I just find the whole thing comical. Like, I play that out in my head of A.J. Hinch going down there, be like, stop cheating. Destroy the monitors. And then 2 days later comes back and they're fixed. And he's like, what are you guys doing? Stop it. Like, now that'll show them. It's like, do you have no control? Do you have absolutely no control over what's going on down there?
Over your bench coach?
I guess not.
Or your bullpen coach, or all of the assistant coaches. The manager's the boss. And his boss is obviously the general manager, but you're going to tell me that, yeah, I told him to stop, he didn't, so what am I going to do?
And that's why I think that firing Hinch makes more sense, because it's not just that he cheated and was like kind of in on it, kind of not in on it, but that he couldn't control his own bench coach. So like, why are you the manager again? I think that's just as damning as anything else. Do you remember that he fought? Remember that story about A.J. Hinch got into a fight after game one of the World Series in 17? Do you think it had anything to do with that? Hey, we know you guys are cheating. No, we're not! No, we're not! I'll fight you! Get over here! I've never cheated in my life! It's like, you cheated all the way here. I don't know. There could be something going on there.
He's got no leg to stand on.
No.
There are reports of him considering an appeal based on knowledge that he had. I mean, go ahead. Have at it.
Well, appeal with Major League Baseball. The Astros have already said goodbye. So you're appealing to what? Try to get with another team right now? I don't know who's going to take you right now. Teams have their managers for the upcoming season.
Well, and he's been suspended for a year.
Right. No, so he's going to try to appeal that, is what he's saying.
But even, you know, if somebody did want to sign him.
No, you're not going to have him. You're not going to have him. It is kind of crazy to think, though, that Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick wrote this story, like Woodward and Bernstein.
Yep.
Like if Rosenthal and Drellick didn't have this, would anything come of this? Would anything have popped up? I mean, we had sort of heard about
unless Mike Fiers or the Red Sox equivalent of Mike Fiers reached out to Rob Bradford or Dan Shaughnessy or you know, whoever, and said, hey, you want to know what happened there?
Yeah, because, I mean, we knew that there was, like, they were looking into it a little bit, but I feel like these are the guys that kind of broke the whole thing open. And now that's going to lead to the Red Sox having a major change. Right now, do you think, is it go out and get a manager for the future? Or is it, all right, Ron Reinicke, you're going to be the manager right now, and we're going to sort of see what happens because it's such a short notice?
People who know Reinicke a lot better than I do say he is ill-suited to be the manager of a baseball team in Boston.
Really?
Well, I mean,
like, that's pretty significant.
Now the question then becomes, do you think Jason Veritek's ready for that big leap? And I don't.
I do think that this is as soft a landing spot in the history of Red Sox
managers.
There's
nothing expected of you?
No. You get thrown into it last minute and they're like, hey, just don't cheat. Hey, do us a favor and don't do the video stuff anymore.
Okay.
I can do that. And by the way, you're probably going to be listening to Heim Bloom tell you what the lineup is, and Heim Bloom telling you when to take out the starter or when to put in the closer. Or actually, you know what? You might not even have a closer. You might not even have starters. You might have just a bullpen game, but he's going to tell you that too.
Hard for me to picture Veritek taking to that very
That's well. Why I do hesitate on the Veritek call. I think maybe he could certainly be a manager one day. But out of all guys to just do what the computer says, you think it would be a guy that was a catcher for a long time? Well, I mean, I guess Kevin Cash is doing it. But, like, I don't know. Veritek
really well.
Feels different.
Joe Torre did it.
Yeah.
You know, as a catcher, made the move.
I feel like the catchers really have a mind for the game. They wouldn't want to only rely on stats. But at the same time, Kevin Cash was a catcher and a big stat guy. But
I heard on the Greg Hill show today What they suggested is that the Red Sox trade Jackie Bradley Jr. to Tampa Bay for Kevin Cash.
Heim Bloom would probably want to do that. I don't think the Rays would. The Rays are probably loving this.
I don't think they would at all.
Rays are like, hey, we can get in the playoffs. Like, we're all set. And I think Cash, did he just sign an extension after last year? I think they have him locked up for a while. I think they like him. I know you did a bunch of the Sox Rays games this year.
Yeah.
Cash certainly has his way
unique
of managing. Yeah. He has to, though, with that payroll.
617-779-7937. Joe's in New Bedford. Hey, Joe.
What's up, guys? So what bothers me, honestly, the most about this, maybe it sounds trivial to others, but, you know, Cora was very steadfast on his moral ground in regards to how his country was being treated or overlooked, rather, by the United States government, you know, more specifically President Trump, and he refused to go to the White House. Yet here he is with no leg to stand on, and he's blatantly cheating in a sport that he gets paid millions of dollars to simply manage and coach. I understand we won the World Series, but I personally can't wait for him to go.
I'm sure the president will just let that slide, will he, on Twitter?
I don't think the president will really care.
You think doing stealing video signs in a baseball game is similar to what's going on in Puerto Rico?
I love you, Keith, and I'm glad you're on the show because you're trying to equate the two, and they're not the same. I agree.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about is Cora's, like, steadfast stance with his morals and how his people were being treated, yet his morals in regards to cheating other people out of a hard-earned victory in a potential World Series meant nothing. So, in my opinion, all of that crap, it's a farce.
I got you. I enjoyed my interactions with Cora. It's fine if people don't like Alex Cora. If that's why they don't like Alex Cora, then so be it. I don't know. That I have a tough time connecting those dots. But if you want to say, you know, listen, he
cared too much, Rich.
Cora?
Yeah, he cared too much.
Yeah, maybe he did.
I was just going to, you know, give it a whirl, see how you...
You know what it is, though? He is kind of like sneaky sensitive because we never really saw it in 18 because they were so good and they won all the time.
Right.
And then by the end, you remember that's where we have the call from during the parade day where he was like, suck on it. Remember? And he was like, oh, yeah, guys.
Suck on it.
He's like, oh, yeah, they were ripping me on Twitter for, you know, leaving Eduardo Rodriguez in. And you're like, what? Like, nobody ripped you on Twitter all year. Like, maybe you found the guy. And then 19 was a little bit different. And remember
how it worked last year.
Yeah, that. Remember that? How stubborn he was? 19 was a mess for him. And when he was going on and on, like, I more would be annoyed by that than the Puerto Rico stuff. I would kind of separate that, but that's fine. That's what Joe wanted to do. The stuff about it worked last year, or, hey, if you could do anything different. I think OMF asked him, they got off to a brutal start, and they're like, hey, if you could do anything different, like, what would you do? He's like, I wouldn't start the season on the road. You're like
that's,
are you
that's
kidding
not
me?
Up to you.
No, it's not. And guess what? You're still going to have 81 at Fenway and 81 on the road. Like, that is how it goes. And so he basically gave his team excuses all last year. And so I'd be more upset with him about that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay. So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah. Right. Screw you.
Exactly.
We don't need you. Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Raccoon. Big, too.
Yeah.
Trust me.
The library blocked my password. Now tell me, does that make any sense to you?
Red Sox take 3 out of 4.
Here we go. It's a Tuesday at 30. Means it's time for Kiefer Madness here on Dale and Keefe. And Dale, obviously this baseball cheating scandal is a huge topic.
It was on Good Morning America,
coast to coast,
CNN.
It's everywhere.
Today's Show, CBS.
It's a big deal. And the Fox 29 in Philadelphia, they came up with what they thought was just a great, great bit, and maybe something that nobody else was doing. They decided to, because you remember, one of the big things with the Houston cheating scandal is that to let the hitter know whether it was whatever, fastball, curveball, they would bang on a trash can.
Right.
So these reporters in Philly, actually it's like the two news people, like the anchors, decided to interview the trash can.
Huh?
They had a they had a trash can on set.
Oh boy.
And they conducted an interview with the trash
can. Did it have like animated lips and stuff?
Not quite.
Oh.
But it does have a voice.
Really?
It talks. Yeah, oh yeah. It's not just one of these, you know, where you're interviewing a mime. Nope. They talk to a trash can, which they claim to be the one from Houston. And we actually cut a chunk out, so it's even longer than this.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
This has got Emmy written all over it.
I think it does. They're going for it, though, at the very least. So here are two reporters from Fox 29 in Philly interviewing the Houston Astros trash can.
I know that your nickname is TC. TC, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Tough start.
Get it, trash can.
I get it.
Thanks.
I would admit, though, a very tough start.
Trash can on set with
yes.
them? Gotcha.
Yep. So it is two. It's just like the anchors that got a news desk, and then kind of behind them, just sitting there is an actual trash can.
I know that your nickname is TC. TC, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. I mean, we can't have this kind of garbage in Major League Baseball.
Get
it's
it.
Kind of a trashy thing to do.
Oh, come on.
I mean, not even.
Oh, right out
who
of the
greenlit
gate.
This rubbish?
I don't know.
Oh, get
Shime.
It, Shime.
Oh. Sitting on that. Sitting on that since 10 a.m. Just waiting. What time is Madness? What time is Madness? I got one I got to dust off here.
How you feeling about it?
Are you implying this is my fault?
Yeah, they're doing like a weird robot voice to
voice,
him.
The voice obstruction device so that we can't tell who's really the talking trash can.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Are you implying this is my fault? I'm just doing my job. I mean, I'm just sitting there and I just beat over and over and over. Nobody cares about my feelings. I've taken me 2 years to get all the dents out. I mean, it's the worst job in sports.
Kind of a Philly accent there with the dents out part.
If you I get look. It, yeah.
I take me 2 years to get all the dents out.
Dance out.
I mean, it's the worst job in sports. Have you ever seen a baseball dugout? They never use me. There's stuff all over the floor. I'm sitting there wanting to be used, wanting to help, and they don't. And then you're going to apply this is my fault?
Well, you were a part of it. I know you're being paid by the Astros, but I mean, you can't throw your life away like this.
Get it.
So now
throw
he's
throw your life away. Yeah.
He's insinuating that the trash can was paid by the Astros.
Well,
like that you would pay trash cans.
Sounds like it to me.
Somebody said, like, we got to do, like, what? We need, like, an interesting spin on the cheating scandal. Somebody's in the back is like, you know what? You could interview the trash can.
Could. I mean, we could get the trash can.
Yes, we could. But how do we start?
No, and now what do? I'm in the trash can protection program. I'm trying to come back from this, and all I did was sit there, and I thought I was going to be part of the team. I thought I was going to help them keep their area clean. And what did they do? They took a stick to me, Mike. They took a stick to me.
Well, okay. All right.
Now, I have limited production
ability. I'm embarrassed on his behalf.
Yes, isn't it? It's one of those
cringeworthy.
Other, it's cringeworthy for everybody. Like, the guy doing the voice of the can, it's for the anchors. So I am not, I would say I'm very novice at production level stuff. Uh-huh.
But the I think voice, you do better than
yes,
that.
Yes, and the voice is, you can hear the real voice with like a little tinge of the robot voice. They did not do this very well at all.
I know you're upset. How exactly did it work? So let's say the camera saw that the next pitch is going to be a curveball. Would they go two beats on you for curveball?
I mean, if you could see where that video that Thomas just had, there was a guy sitting there next to me the whole night. And I think, okay, this guy's going to be my friend. But every once in a while, you just hit me. And then the crowd would cheer and they would win. But then after the game, did they take me into the clubhouse to celebrate with them?
No.
No, they just let me sit there by myself. There was a parade. I should have been at the front.
Did you at least get the... like the empty champagne bottles thrown into you?
No, it's baseball. They never use me. They put everything on the floor. I don't understand. What am I there for?
Fastball.
Ow!
So clearly one of the talking points was, and guess what? The irony is they don't even use trash cans. Make sure you say that multiple times.
Several times.
Make sure you go back to the well.
They just
on
throw
them,
stuff
the
on the floor.
Can. Again, this is a Philadelphia station. So the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox are the ones that have cheated. They cheated the L.A. Dodgers in the World Series. They cheated against who else? Like maybe the Yankees, like if you're talking about like on the road to these World Series. Why does Philly even care that much about it?
I would say that somebody at Fox 29 in Philadelphia needs to clear out some room on the old bookshelf.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because there are awards coming their way.
This is...
If they offered you a lot of money, would you do it again? Would you recycle this scandal?
You know what, Mike? It's really helped me with the ladies. Like I mentioned, have you seen some of those blue cans? They got a nice clean shape to them.
Yeah.
Well, now he's trying to just go blue. And you're like, what are we doing?
The recycle cans?
Yeah. Once you recycle,
nice
I don't know
cans.
How that ends, but I'll let you know.
Nice cans.
Crass.
Nice cans.
Are you married?
Yeah, nice cans.
No, I'm out there, Mike. I'm just getting, I'm recovering from the from what happened to us. And, you know, I'm going to write a book.
Do you want to have
how to.
Go on the tour.
Go on the tour.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to have little pails someday or?
You know, that's up in the air. We'll
I don't
see.
Know.
You know,
yeah.
I know. Based off the teams here in Philadelphia, you guys need all the help you can get, so maybe I can go and help them. They can come bang me a little bit.
What?
All right. Well, please come to Philly. We'll talk.
I can't. I mean, unbelievable.
To listen. This is a major market television station.
Right.
Philadelphia is a major market.
And we caught a few questions and answers out of that.
Oh, it went longer.
Oh, it was longer than that.
Oh, God.
I was just trying to get everybody a little taste of that. Listen, you got to try for some outside-the-box stuff, but...
When it was over, do you think those guys went... When they went to break?
We did.
Nailed it.
Yeah, perfect.
The end of that got a little trashy.
It kind of did, because I think they knew it wasn't really hitting the way they thought it would. So he was like, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go a little more sophomoric.
And it went very sexual, and I didn't
know. I'm surprised he didn't just like rip a fart. I'm surprised he didn't... Hey, was that you? Like, hey, what do you want me to tell you? It stinks down here. I'm surprised he didn't go there.
I got a couple day-old bananas in here. What do you want from me?
Because at least then you get, like, the fart audience in, right? There's a good chunk, as we know on Madness, that, like, they like poops, they like farts. You got to at least go there. When you know things are falling apart, you pull the ripcord, and you just start ripping fart noises.
And
that would have been better than this.
I also think the voice alone for the trash can...
Distracting.
Terrible.
Why would you go
with, like, an older gentleman, probably smoked a couple cigarettes in his day.
Like the
really
one caller we had
Greg
that
earlier.
Played minor league ball.
Yeah,
that guy would have been great. That guy definitely would have he would have made a lot more sense. Yeah, that I didn't like that. I didn't like the scrambled where you could hear both voices. It sounded like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation.
Sure. You guys are talking and trying to quantify what was done in 17, what was done in 18.
Listen, now you got a good bit. If that was the voice of
That'd
the trash can, you gotta
the Houston Astros kept banging me all the time. I couldn't deal with it anymore. Yeah. I needed to go home.
Right. Like one of those trash cans that has the ashtray on top. It could be one of those ones.
This writes itself. They should have called us for this.
Yeah. Tomorrow at 12:30, we're going to interview the trash can, I think.
Good Lord.
We're going to give him a name. We're not going to call him TC.
Well, Wiggy's already on from 10 to 2.
Oh, come on.
Come on
Nobody
now.
Nobody calls him a trash can. That's mean.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. A little over an hour from now, I'm sure it'll top what you just heard because it's Karaoke Tuesday and Shime's turn to shine.
Yes, it is.
Pardon me for that pun.
Ooh, a little Shime shine today.
It's coming.
All right.
A little
Sun
over
shine.
An hour from now.
Sunshine.
We get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Would you do it again? Would you recycle this scandal? Fastball.
Ow!
I mean, we can't have this kind of garbage in Major League Baseball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dale.
Had to show my respect to the champs.
And Keith.
I'd be buck naked.
This is WEEI.
As a Yankees fan, I feel like I want their title vacated. I know you can't do that, but that's how I feel. So I understand your feeling. And the Yankees lost to the Red Sox, don't forget, last year, who may have cheated them out of it. And they lost to the Astros
the year before.
They may have been cheated
twice
out of the last two World Series.
Yes.
So all the Dodgers fans were like, oh, we should have won. Says who? Maybe the Yankees going with those bats and clobber them.
Well, you knew that they were going to fly high with this report, didn't you?
Oh, of course.
And it's hard. I always try to do this. Try to put yourself in the position of not being from here.
Yeah.
You know, you're in Minneapolis and you're looking at this and you're saying, really? Another cheating scandal? Isn't that
crazy.
How you feel?
Yeah, you do. But I also think the good news, well, good news about the Red Sox specifically this time around, or Boston, but the Red Sox, is that the Astros did it as well. And so this isn't, hey, take away the Red Sox World Series and everybody else's is fine. Like, no, you would then take away both.
Right.
Right? And it's another city. And I know Coro's the overlap, but still, it's another whole city that's involved. And I would just say, as a Red Sox fan, if you eliminate that part of it and you just focus on the Astros thing, I think I would say, oh, they cheated. There's kind of a smudge, if you will, on that World Series. But I'm not taking I'm not taking it away from them. And that's why I feel like I can say the same thing about the Red Sox, and it's not just, oh, that's because, you know, that's your the team that you like. No. I would say the same thing about the Astros. I think it's a blemish, for sure, but it's not, all right, you got to, you know, rip it out of the record book. I'm not doing that. I think that's really hard to do.
Did they put an asterisk?
I don't know if they
do
that either.
Matters. I mean,
they didn't put an asterisk next to any of Bonds or Clemens' numbers.
Nope.
You know, or A-Rod's or anybody else's. So if those are going to stand, I think these will stand too.
One other football note, and this has to do with announcers. And yesterday, Wiggy and I had a bit of a disagreement. Wiggy thinks Tony Romo's trash.
Oh, I love Romo.
I think he's really good. Really good.
Yeah.
He picked the perfect time to become a free agent. His contract is up at the end of the season.
Romo's is?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
There are reports out there that ESPN is preparing an offer worth between $10 and $14 million a year.
Holy smokes. For Monday Night Football, obviously.
You would assume. Sorry, Booger.
Yeah, unless they go three-man booth, but you wouldn't want to because you would just want Romo to do all the talking. I'll tell you what, though, out of all the guys that currently now do color for TV football, pros, forget about all the college guys, there's a million of them, but just for pros, again, first and foremost, if it's two teams that you want to watch play, you'd watch them regardless of who did the, at least for me. We've had this argument before. I don't really care who's doing the announcing if it's two teams that are good. If it's kind of like on the borderline, it always helps when the announcer crew is better. And I think Romo might be the only guy that I would say, oh, yeah, I listen to Romo. Like, if you knew every Monday night Romo had the game, you might be a little bit more likely to tune in and say, oh, what's he going to say? What's he going to tell me
about?
Does
he add $10 to $14 million worth of extra viewers? Probably not.
hard. Yeah, I don't know how to quantify that exactly. Because, again, so much is going to be dictated on what games do you get. Because Monday Night Football, you can't flex. So they do this, the schedule at the beginning of the season, and they get end up with a lot of crap games. So that's kind of out of their hands. But I think you go from being a laughingstock. Like, the last 2 years, the Monday Night Football crew has been the worst out of all, what is it, like 15 crews? Because CBS and Fox each have, like, a handful. And then NBC has one, and ESPN has one.
Right.
And remember, we were reading from that one website that that took like a poll, and they pulled a ton of people, and they're like, "What's rank them 1 through 15 or 20 or whatever it was," and it was Booger McFarland, Tessitore, and at the time Jason Witten were dead last. And that's your Monday Night Football team.
That's your best crew, supposedly.
It's supposed to be, and it's the worst. Yeah, I don't like those
guys.
The
fact that Dan Fouts had a division weekend.
What happened
game,
there?
Don't know. Did a bunch of guys show up sick?
Did they fall asleep at the wheel there? All of a sudden, I'm like, Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts. I'm like, come on. Can we do better than that? And so I think Romo, because they were paying Gruden like $10 million a year, weren't they?
It seems that it was around there, yeah.
So Romo's worth that. Now, I don't know if Tessitore's the guy. Cause I think Romo has a pretty good rapport with Nance. And maybe he would get that with Tessitore. Tessitore seems like a bit of a snore to me. But I don't know. I think if you're ESPN, it's definitely... worth inquiring about.
ESPN does have a tendency to fall in love with somebody and then overpay. Mm. You know, they get all enamored of someone. And I really think Tony Romo's really good. One of the best, if not the best, color analyst in football.
Yeah.
But he's not worth $10 to $14 million.
Yeah, but
to bring... He's not gonna make that big a difference in my ratings.
So you don't think any announcing crew would?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't think that there's any announcing crew that keeps people away from the game. I don't think there's any announcing crew that brings people to the football game.
What if you could
if they want to see the game, they're going to see it.
What if you could get Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Then, now we're talking. That might be hard.
That would get in butts in the
seat.
Well, that would also be a real trick.
Yeah.
But, by the way, I watched Kindred Spirits on Friday night.
It's pretty good, huh?
It was really good. So that was Dale went with... Amy
Bruni and Adam Berry.
And to the place in Rhode Island, which is basically the Conjuring house. And the fact that they got all the kids.
First time that they've been back.
That was crazy. The parent
family. Would you go back in there?
No. Now, if all that stuff really happened, and I believe them, I have no reason not to believe them. I believe all that stuff. Again, I know people make some of that stuff up, but I happen to believe them. And if all that stuff is true and they're like, hey, can you come on back? I'd be like, no, thank you.
No. Now, I was there. Saw, you know, thunder, lightning. It was like the spookiest night to be there.
Did you meet the family? Or
no,
they had different
no,
night?
They were there okay, a different night than me. Now, having said that, all of that, if I was offered, hey, do you want to spend the night here? I mean, like, you know, you can sleep
spend
here for the night.
Night.
Not a chance.
No chance.
None.
Just was it weird walking into the house?
Well, especially now, because at the time I first went in,
yeah, you hadn't seen
I hadn't seen the movie. Then after I spent the night with those guys, I go home and I say, hey, let's watch the movie. Watched it and went, I might not have gone.
No way. No, spooky. Way too spooky. And I also think that the family that actually lives there now, what are they thinking?
They're from Maine.
What are they?
I don't know.
Maybe that explains it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what
they... What are they doing? Why would you want to live there? And they're like, oh, yeah, our kids immediately started experiencing all this stuff.
Their son doesn't want to stay there.
Well, yeah, because there's like black smog coming through his room. Man, I saw that, and like these two, they're like, well, you know, we want to work with this, and, you know, we want to see what we're dealing with. I'm like, I'll tell you what you're dealing with. As a for sale sign, get out of there. There's no reason to be in that house, because clearly that lady thinks it's her house, and she is going to haunt it until the day that you die.
The next, if assuming there's another season, I will bring you along.
Okay, good.
And you can go with us. And
I'll be spooky. I'll be scared.
It's fun.
I'll be scared. Did you guys watch this?
Don't be a wuss.
This was on
Friday night.
Friday night, called Kindred Spirits. You got to watch the Conjuring one.
It's a little spooky.
I'm gonna have to go check this out tonight. I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yes. Yeah, you'll like it. It was good. Oh man.
I'm not easily scared. So.
All right. I'll put it to the test.
Oh, look at.
Did
look
you
at,
see the Conjuring?
Tough guy, Shime.
Of course, I saw the Conjuring.
All right, relax.
How about in the basement where she's sitting in the chair and goes up to the ceiling?
Like
when
that
happened,
yeah.
And I didn't know this because I hadn't seen the movie yet, I was standing right there. I was standing where her chair was. And then when I see the movie the next day, I went, oh, no.
And they both felt stuff in the house, too.
Yeah.
Amy felt like a hand down her back.
Yep.
Did you feel anything when you were in there?
I did not.
Okay.
No strong auras of any kind?
They were like, hands off Dale.
Yeah, he's too tough.
Hands off the merchandise. That's what he said. No. He's too tough. Yeah, he's too tough. Watch out for this guy. Maybe you scared the ghost.
I'm going to take you next time.
Oh, my God. I'm already a little
nervous. Amy said that absolutely I can bring you along.
All right.
We're there.
Keith, you better bring your sword.
I did get a sword.
I don't think you get to bring a sword. A ghost hunt.
But it's the perfect weapon against spiritual creatures.
I should bring a sword.
A samurai sword is the perfect weapon to capture and to defend yourself against spiritual creatures.
So I got a sword like a week ago, and I'm still kind of learning how to handle it and everything else.
Oh, no.
Update, I did put a hole in one of my shirts.
Already?
Yes.
Don't bring that around Mike Vrabel.
No, he's already seen it. He'd be terrified.
How about your couch or something?
Couch is good. My wife really wants it just to be in the basement, and maybe I can play with it outside.
Except when your daughter's in the basement with you.
Yeah.
Then you got to leave the sword in the closet.
But it is. I mean, the home security is pretty beefed up right now, if you ask me.
Who's going to attack a house when the guy's got a sword?
When a guy pulls a sword out, you're like, well, he clearly knows what he's doing.
Well, now they know it's in the basement, though, so you'll hear the intruder have to go all the way down to the basement.
Have to sprint down
there. Get the sword.
I know.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.